The Poorly Made Police podcast is for entertainment purposes only. This podcast has explicit content and is meant for a mature audience. The views expressed on this poorly made podcast reflect the opinions of the guest and host. They do not reflect the opinion of any department or entity. Nothing on this poorly made podcast should be construed as legal or marital advice. If something offends you, I kindly invite you to lighten the fuck up. If you want to support this very poorly made podcast, click the link at the end of the description and become a monthly sponsor of the podcast. Or buy yourself some nice poorly made police memes merch. Not only does it look good on you, it's also a favorite of wives, exes, children, nurses, nuns, IA investigators, defense attorneys, and the chief. And of course, take care of the fine sponsors of this podcast. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the orgasmic sound of a Crown Vic. Yo, hey there. Welcome to another action-packed, exciting edition of the Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. I'm your host, Lenny. How the fuck are you guys? I hope this podcast finds you well. This episode, we talk about trains. We finally had a train cop. I was thoroughly fucking entertained. I think you guys will also enjoy it. A lot of good conversation, a lot of good information, and maybe you guys will be running over to work for the railroad. But before we get into this podcast, obviously big, huge, awesome thanks to our good friends over at officerprivacy.com. They bring you each and every one of your Sunday podcasts. Obviously, I'm a paying customer of their service. I value my privacy. I don't want these evildoers coming into my house. I've recommended them to you guys for a couple years now. I want to throw something else out for you that could be some useful information. They have a new tool for you. Go over to their website. There are three things that you're doing every day that are leaking your data online. Go over to their website, access their free training so you'll know what's causing the leaks and what you can do to prevent it. Without any further ado, let's listen to a little Chris Darlington and we'll be right back on the train. Oh, hey there. Welcome to another edition of the Very Poorly Made Police Podcast. I'm your host, Lenny. Now joining me, the podcast you guys have all waited for, the guy that was responsible for running trains in Tennessee. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Sorry, I got confused. Different kind of train. I have a train cop, CJ, who did not run trains in Tennessee, just for clarification. CJ, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm just living a dream, man, enjoying this nice spring day, which means the honey-do list is well in action.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've waited a long time for this, the poorly made family. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I had a guy lined up a while ago to talk about train stuff, and some things came up, and he couldn't do it. But now you're here, and this, I got to tell you, this podcast probably is the quickest one from like somebody sending me a message to actually recording. What is it, like less than 24 hours that you fucking hit me up?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I figured you had like a list of like a million people that were waiting.
I do have a list of a million people. It is starting to whittle down a little bit, but I really wanted to get on the train thing, kind of pun intended, and I needed to record a podcast this weekend, so thank you for your service to coming to the rescue here.
Oh, anytime.
CJ, here's what people need to know before we get started here. Are you having anything to drink tonight?
Yes, I'm having a Midwest IPA from Great Lakes.
And an IPA guy. Here we go.
Hold on. I'm not an IPA guy, but That's like the entire craft beer scene, unfortunately. I'm more into sours myself. I like sours, but they're harder to find. This was just in like a variety pack that I got.
I gotta be honest, and maybe I'm just too much of a simpleton. I just like regular ambers. That's all I like. Just a regular old fucking beer. Anything, like I don't really like stouts. I don't like Pilsner. I obviously don't like IPAs. I'm a simpleton, man. Like I guess I just do not have the taste for the finer things in life. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, that's all right. For a guy that doesn't like IPAs, you seem to drink a ton of them.
Okay, so we need some context here. Back in the day when I was a raging alcoholic when I started this podcast, if you guys have been listening for a while, I would get fucking annihilated almost 90% of those, probably the first two season. I don't really drink so much anymore, on and off the podcast. I mean, I like a good brewski every once in a while, and every once in a while I'm still the liquor. So CJ just started listening to the podcast. What, you said you're on episode 22, season one, or something like that?
Yeah.
So back in the day, I would get a different beer to try every podcast. And it got to the point where I just basically would take one sip and I'm like, this is dog shit. And I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to drink a Busch Light or a Yuengling or a Natty Light and call it good. It's kind of where that went. But maybe I need to bring it back. Maybe I need to start opening my horizons and trying some different beers again.
Yeah, couldn't hurt.
I mean, it could hurt. It could hurt. So, buddy, let's learn a little bit about you. Why did you get into law enforcement?
We kind of did the back and forth a little bit, but growing up, I had a shit ton of domestics in my house, and eventually my house got the honor of being a two-car house, and I was just a little guy at the time, but the troopers that were there, that always showed up, were always real nice to me. Obviously they made things better. And this was before my state had the shall arrest laws in regarding domestics. So unfortunately, a lot of the times there was not a whole lot they could do other than make sure nobody was killing each other. But it always kind of stuck with me how they made shit better. And they tried their best to kind of like, hey, how you doing? What do you think about what's going on? And try to get that perspective for me and make sure I was okay. And obviously I can't give away my state, but if you're a state trooper that used to go to a ton of domestics in the 90s, I guess you should know that you made a difference to somebody.
Real quick, if I could step in, I like that you bring that up. I mean, obviously, I asked you that, but we've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think sometimes, you're running call to call, you're burnt out, everything, it's kind of going to shit. Your department sucks, whatever. I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in everything else that we forget sometimes, or maybe we don't forget. Maybe people are better than I am. The influence that you can have. I mean, I think, at least me, sometimes I get kind of down in the gutter, and I think humanity is shit, and nothing's ever going to change. But a story like yours tells me there's still good people out there doing this job. And not to say there's bad people doing the job, you guys know what I'm saying, but making sure, when you're taking these calls, little kids are around, or even adults, maybe a younger young man, young woman, people that are can be influenced. We have that power to influence people, which is a that's a it's a heavy burden sometimes if you're bad influence, I guess, but I'm glad these guys influenced you the right way.
And then I kind of kept that mentality when I was doing municipal work. When I was going to domestics, I would make sure to do the same thing. check in with the little ones there, like let them talk and tell their story. And I guess in my mind, I was hoping to kind of do the same thing that happened to me, you know?
Yeah. So, how did your policing career start?
So after college, part of my I did the super original thing and went and got a criminal justice degree. And one of my classes, part of it was doing a ride along. And the professor had a bunch of departments that were already signed on that would take guys. And the small department that I happened to ride along with, the guy who is now a trooper that I was riding with, he's like, "Hey, why don't you go to the academy?" And I'm like, "Well, shit, why, I guess I will." So I applied for the academy, got accepted, and the department that I rode with that time, they sponsored me, which was a huge surprise because that department has arrested members of my family multiple times. But they took me on no problem. So I went through a community college academy, did my FTO through the same department, and hung on with them for a few years until the railroad came along and just offered me a just had an offer that I could not refuse.
So to take a little bit of a step back, so obviously, your family had some run-ins with the law. What does the family think of you being a cop?
Most of them like it. I think a couple find it like amusing, like they hit me up with like random fucking legal questions. And even my brother, who's a felon multiple times, me and him get along just fine. And he's like the jailhouse lawyer type. Like when he was in, he would hit up the law books. So now me and him have debates like nobody's business. But for the most part, my family's what is accepting of it. There's really only one family member that I can think of that really had anything to say at first. And it was because she was wanting, I became a cop at right around the time Ferguson was happening. So this was my grandmother. She kind of got influenced by the news and would say things like, "Oh, so you're just gonna go fucking kill people, go kill black people and shit." And I'm like,
I mean, that's why we
I
all signed up, right? Jesus
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
Christ. I fucking hate the news so much.
Right?
And speak of influence, right? That whole conversation about like, hey, you can influence people. And this isn't to be derogatory or anything like that. I feel like, unfortunately, some people can be easily influenced, and I'm not like remarking on their intelligence or whatever, but I believe it's a psychology thing, right? Like numbers and people and stuff. I don't bigger than you're the college boy, not me, but that. People want to be part of the group, right? And when everybody's saying the same thing, was like, well, I think that too. And when people don't think for themselves, they, all these crazy things start to go out there, and unfortunately, they somehow become reality in some people's mind, and it's couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, that in our 24-hour news cycle that we have, they repeat the same things over and over again. And I think that's how it really gets ingrained in people that they need to believe what they're seeing because they're just getting hit with it again and again and again until, ad nauseum until that's what they believe.
I had a call, and I may have talked about it before on the podcast. I don't remember, but it's like one of those calls that always kind of haunted me. And then as everything kind of progressed with like the anti-cop stuff, it kind of just made it even worse in my mind. And so basically, I had a gal that was seven. Probably some kind of drug overdose or something. She's black, and she was about my age. And when I got there, she was still warm, And I started doing CPR on her, right? I thought for sure she's dead. I thought for sure she's dead, but I was like, hey, I still got to do this, right? Paramedics come in. I get told in the ambulance or outside of the ambulance, hey, they got a pulse. Like, you know, good job kind of thing. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, I thank God, you know, like I understand, you know, this person is a drug addict, but like, you know, she has family. You know, there's people that care about her. She's a human being. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like, I felt really good about that. And then unfortunately, I got a call from the coroner 3 days later that said, hey, yeah, she passed. I, you know, just had some questions about the call or whatever. That sucked, dude. That hurt, man. Cause, you know, you see somebody, you don't look at people's skin. You know, this is a human being. This is a girl my age. This is somebody I could have been in class with. This is somebody I could have been friends with. You know, it pained me, right? That, you know, she died at such a young age. And I think it turned out she had kids. And so when you start getting this whole narrative of like, oh, cops are just out, you know, murdering black people and hurting black people, it's like, you have fucking no idea. You know, we're out here actually doing something, actually making a difference. And you cocksuckers are on the news talking about shit you don't know what you're fucking talking about. And like shit like that. I mean, I'm one of these people, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Sorry, we're doing my therapy right now. We'll talk about you soon. But I don't know. I wish I could, you know, let it roll off my back, but I can't. And it kind of, you know, hurts my soul, man. Like you're accused of a thing that is just couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And to hear, like, in my case, to hear it come from a family member, I ain't gonna lie, it hurt. But we've since kind of reconciled, and I think as I kind of talk about my job when I'm around her, she kind of gets it and has come around to the reality of it. But that really sucks what you went through. I mean, especially after bringing her back, I'm sure that kind of gave you like a little glimmer of hope for her.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, see, I had a family member too after the George Floyd thing send me a text message about making sure I wasn't being a racist. It's like, fuck you, bitch. I think I read that on the podcast. I can't remember. But if I haven't, the regular listeners will have to let me know and I'll have to read it sometime. It's pretty entertaining. All right, let's happy thoughts. Happy thoughts. We kind of went down a
Happy
negative road.
thoughts.
We're supposed to be talking about choo-choo trains, man. That made me feel better. All right, so I'm sure we'll kind of go back and forth between your smaller agency and the trains, but obviously the trains, that's why we're here. I think I could speak for a lot of dudes. There's something about boats, there's something about trains, and there's something about airplanes. It's just like if I see an airplane in the sky, I instantly look up. I don't know if everybody else is like me, but I have the little app that you can look at where the plane is going and where it came from and shit. It's really cool. If I see a train, I'm like, fuck yeah, there's a fucking train. That's awesome. If I see a big boat, I mean, obviously not the one in Baltimore. That one wasn't really cool. I think that's really cool. I don't know where I was going with that, but I feel like being a train cop could be pretty cool. And then you're fucking around trains all the time, which I think are awesome. That might just be my autism, I'm not sure. So
Don't we all have a little glimmer of the tism?
I think we all have a little tinge, bud. I think we all have our own version of the tinge, or there's a bunch of autistic people that are, fuck you guys, you don't actually have autism. Stop stealing our thing. We're appropriating their culture is what is really going on.
Oh yeah, that makes
But
sense.
it could be. So I guess, how did the train thing come about? Were you unhappy at your department, or this it was just an opportunity present itself?
I can't say I was unhappy. I think I was bored. I was looking at, it was a very small department, and I was looking at a guy. I was looking to replace a guy who had been patrolling in the same position for 25 years, and I was kind of thinking to myself, like, that's my future. Like, 25 years as a patrolman, there's not really going to be any any upward mobility here. And I saw the opening, they posted on Indeed. It's not like a civil service thing. And I put in for it, and I forgot about it. I didn't hear anything for a really long time. And I was just kind of doing my thing, and I get a random email from my super, well, the guy who is now my boss, saying, "Hey, we want you to come in for an interview." And I didn't know anything about railroad policing, and if you look online, it's kind of hard to find like the actual day in, day out, salary, benefits, shit like that is not really online. So I went into this interview kind of blind. And they're like, "Yeah, this is what we'll probably start you out at." After I did the interview, they were pretty impressed with me, and they're like, this is what we think we'll start you out at." And the number they gave me was like 20 grand more than what I was making. And they're like, "And you get a take home car. We'll pay for your move because we have to live within so many miles of our field office." And the retirement scheme, they explained how that goes. And I was like, "Fuck, guys, I'm in. Bring me on." And the rest is history. And they've fulfilled all those promises. I mean, my take home's a piece of shit, but I have one.
What kind of take home is it? What is it?
It's an expedition.
Okay, I was just making sure we weren't going to have some Crown Vic slander. I was about to be a little upset.
No, I did my FTO in a Crown Vic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what is the day to day as a railroad cop? Because I got to be honest, the whole thing is interesting to me, like how jurisdiction works and all that stuff. So what is your day to day? I guess is where we'll start.
Yeah, and no problem. I've been doing this for a couple of years, and I still think it's interesting. So usually my the bread and butter of my job is train inspections. So the intermodal trains get fucking broken into all the time. I'm sure you've seen some videos of it.
Yeah.
And so when our intermodal trains come in, they always have to be inspected, and we're looking for open doors, broken seals, cargo laying on the deck of the train, shit like that. Secondary to that, trespass abatement. I don't know why, and I wish I knew why, but the railroad seems to attract tons of crackheads, homeless, dudes with warrants, and I guess just transients in general. So I spent a lot of my time kicking people off the railroad, or if they got warrants, hooking them up, taking them down to holding. Other, some more of the specialized stuff we do is sometimes we'll get into like surveillance work. If we have somebody that's hitting our trains in our patrol zone, we'll set up in the bushes with night vision and just sit on a train, or not on a train, but like in the bushes around the train, and see if anybody hits it. One time I set up in a building and like way back, away from the windows, and waited for people to come. Sometimes we link up with our game wardens. We have big rail yards, and it's a lot of wooded areas, so like dumping is a big problem with us, and our game wardens are real into getting illegal dumpers. Poaching's a big problem for us, and we have a lot of turkeys and deer on our yards. So really, I mean, and then the normal patrol shit. Like in my state, we happen to have, I guess, general policing jurisdiction, and that changes from state to state. So if I see somebody on a stop, another agency on a stop, I'll light up and I'll get out and be like, "Hey, you good?" If I'm rolling through another jurisdiction and I happen to have their radio on, or their radio on my radio, I'll key in and be like, and if they have something going on, I'll kind of key up and be like, "Hey, do you need another car?" My bosses fucking hate it, but there's not a whole lot they can do to stop me.
They don't want you. Why don't they want you backing up other cars? Because they want you focused on the train or what?
Yeah. So, you know, they're terrified of liability. And that's the biggest part of it. And some states are different where railroad cops strictly have jurisdiction on their property. And I think there's a couple states where we're not even considered cops. But in my state, we happen to have that general authority and we can take police action off property. However, when we do, any lawsuits or any shit that comes from whatever we do off property opens up the railroad itself to liability, because the railroad's self-insured. And, you know, civil attorneys will look at that and, you know, start foaming at the fucking mouth. So that's why our bosses strongly discourage it. But, you know, you just got to be smart about what you're doing.
So I have a story on that. I'm a big believer that we're all cops, and if another cop needs help, you fucking go help them. No questions asked. I've heard some stories about, like, some agencies that, like, the sheriff says, hey, you know, you cannot leave the jurisdiction if somebody needs help, you know, unless you get permission. To me, that's like, no, I'm going to go help another cop.
No,
that's going to happen, and I'll deal with the repercussions. There was a story that I heard in my academy that, which I believe to be true. And it was like one of those classes on ethics or whatever, or maybe morality. I don't know. But so at the time, our agency had like a no pursuit policy, and a cop from another agency came into our city in a pursuit by himself, didn't have any backup. And supervisors got on the air and said, that's their deal. That's their deal. Don't, you know, just, you're not getting into it. One of the guys did. He's like, he's by himself. If this thing wrecks out, he's by himself. He needs somebody there with him, kind of thing. Like, I'd want somebody there with me. And so he disregarded the order and joined the pursuit. And I think until another car joined in from another jurisdiction, and then he went back to the city. He, like, they were fucking up his ass about it. And the brass was, but the other officers were like, no, that is absolutely the right thing to do. And he ended up not getting in trouble for it. But the way I look at that is, cop needs help, you help him. I mean, I understand the other parts of the liability and stuff, but I don't know. Cop needs help, you help him. That's kind of the bottom line. I know my agency had a call. We had a fucked up call where some officers got into a pretty big fight. And they were in a part of the city where they were basically the only cars down there, and they were tied up fighting this dude, and we couldn't get a hold of him on the radio. So we're screaming down there from our part of the city. Outside agencies beat us there, and I'm thankful that they did. So I same team is kind of the way I look at that when it comes to officers calling for help.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was brought up in my interview. They're like, hey, we don't like it when our guys, you know, go out on other agencies' calls. And I'm like, yeah, I'm obviously not going to chase another agency's radio, but if a guy needs help, I'm going to help him. And I mean, they fucking hired me, so I guess they seem to be okay with that answer.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and be right back to the podcast. Oh, hey there, it's just me. Just got a couple quick things for you guys. Wanted to remind you, in the podcast description and on the meme page, I got a link tree that has all your favorite poorly made stuff. You can get to the Ghost Patch stuff that we do together. You can also get the Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Got our friends Officer Privacy, Fit Responder, Frontline Optics, Revelations Training, and then, of course, a link to my merch. So make sure you guys are checking that out for everything poorly made. And one last thing before I let you get back to the podcast. The very last thing you see on every single podcast is a link. That's how you become a monthly donor / sponsor to the podcast. You can do that if you love the podcast and you want to help a fella out, or if you just feel sorry for me. Go ahead and click that link to be a monthly donor. Now, back to the podcast. So let me ask about jurisdiction. So obviously, you know, there's several different rail lines throughout the country, and we're not going to dox you or anything, but I know you probably couldn't speak for all of them, but they span several states.
Yes.
Does the railroad like hire, are you, I guess, through the railroad, do you have a specific state that you're in, or do you go to different states, or how does that work?
So a little of both. I'm assigned a huge patrol area. Me and my coworkers cover seven counties, about one third of my state. However, for big issues like real chronic train burglaries or derailments, I guess like really bad fatalities, we can get called out of state into other agents' patrol areas to kind of help them out. And it our authority, I guess, carries off, carries into the whatever state we're going to.
Okay.
Yeah, so but realistically, how what's gonna happen is, say I go into a neighboring state to help out with a derailment, and I end up making an arrest on that. Probably what I'm, because I don't know that state's codes or how they charge things, I'm probably just going to hand it off to local guys and have them take it. And that's how that would realistically play out. But I guess the authority to do stuff is always there.
All right. So is it, do you have some type of federal authority too, or are you just a commissioned cop in whatever state you're in?
So our authority to police in other states comes from the FRA, and there's a, for the life of me, I can't remember what it is. I've already had a couple. But there is a specific law, a federal law, that says that we have jurisdiction in whatever state our rail line touches. And in
Got it.
my case, that's about half the country.
Okay. All right. So now I'm curious about, because you said if I make an arrest off of a derailment, which I don't know shit about, fuck. I thought usually like a derailment is a, I don't know actually what causes a derailment. I was always afraid when I put pennies on the track, it would cause a derailment. But then I got some cool ass fucking pennies. What? How would that work? Like, what are some causes of derailments, and what, who would get charged? Is like an engineer, or is that somebody, you know, parking a car on the tracks? Like, run through some scenarios.
Sure. So, and an interesting thing about arresting engineers and conductors, and this is just a little side tangent here. If one of them comes to work and is found operating a train under the influence of alcohol or some kind of narcotic, we as state commissioned officers cannot arrest them for that. At least in my state, it's a because a train does not meet the definition of a motor vehicle. So actually, that would be the FRA. I think their Office of Inspector General would come out and do that. And that's just a side, a little. A lot of engineers and conductors are chronic alcoholics because of the work schedule that they have. So that's a big issue for us. So it's just kind of interesting. But to get back to your question, surprisingly little things can cause a derailment. Whether that be in the case of Norfolk Southern, they had a hot box, which is where the bearings on a train car get too hot, and it caused some sort of mechanical failure and caused the wheels to come off the track. A washout, where chronic, flooding or chronic rain damage can literally wash away a track or make it unstable. That would cause a derailment. If you leave, and please, nobody who's listening ever fucking do this, but a large enough object on the rails can cause a derailment. And it's surprisingly easy to cause a train to go off the tracks.
What about my pennies that I used to put when I was a kid? Could it have done it?
So you've done it. Everybody does it. I even have a few squished pennies in my patrol car that I've done just because I was bored. I'm like, fuck it, I could do it. Why not? But no, coins are not going to cause a train to go off rail. A big log might. A heavy enough vehicle might cause a train to go off.
What about like a big black dildo?
I doubt it. I mean, if it was big enough and hard enough, maybe.
Nobody do that. Nobody try this at home.
Yeah, to all the masses, do not go into your mom's drawer, find her dildo, and put it on the tracks.
No,
It's not
please
going to end
don't.
well.
So I guess if these train derailments potentially, like when you're looking at charging people, if I understand this right. Oh, by the way, for context, because you referenced the FRA, that's Federal Railroad something
Yeah,
authority.
the Federal Railway Administration.
Close. Okay. So like somebody, I don't want to say it's terrorism, but somebody like a civilian puts something on the track or whatever that causes that derailment, and then you would track them down and charge them with something.
Yeah, we actually had a case recently like that. We worked in conjunction with the FBI for terrorism charges, but they put a, without divulging too many details, they put a bunch of shit on the tracks and lit it on fire, and proceeded to have a whole rant about what they did and why they did it on Facebook. So it was a pretty easy case. But we had state charges for them in my state, causing a delay in railroad traffic is a felony. So we had felony charges for that, and the FBI went after him for terrorism.
All right, so now I'm interested in the train burglaries.
Okay.
So train burglaries, I don't know why I'm surprised. I mean, I remember there was all those videos in like Southern California where like the train tracks were littered with shit because people were going through the trains and basically just fucking taking whatever they wanted out of them. Does that so that's basically happening all throughout the country?
Oh, yeah.
I gotta think to burglarize a train probably wouldn't be that hard because there's so much distance sometimes between the engine and the cars, and they're in, middle of nowhere sometimes. Is that kind of how that happens?
Basically, yeah. Some of these trains are 11, 12,000 feet long, and their ass end sticks out in secluded areas, often at night, and it's just ripe for the picking. And our local shitheads they kind of figure out the train schedule or when they generally arrive, and they'll just sit and wait. And if they know that nobody's around and the train's not going to move for a little bit, which is very likely, yeah, they'll board the train, break the seals, and pilfer whatever they can from them.
I'm kind of surprised. I don't know why I didn't think that was a thing. The Old West, they had like the classic, the robberies and stuff. I suppose that probably doesn't happen anymore, train robberies. Has there ever been a train holdup in the last 20 years that you know of?
No, we've had people hijack trains.
What? All right, we're gonna have to talk about that in a second. Remind me. So burglaries, let's stay on burglaries. How secure is a train car? Are they pretty easy to break into?
Yeah, excuse me, I'm opening another.
Yeah,
Yeah, for the most part, sometimes you need equipment to get in there, your standard burglary tools. I don't want to make it easy for any shithead that might be thinking they're going to do their Christmas shopping on my trains.
we had a charge in Colorado for having possession of burglary tools, which was kind of interesting because if you were a construction worker, then you're like always in possession of them, you know?
Yes. At least in my state, that we have the same charge, but it pretty much always has to be in conjunction with something else. So like in our case, we're going to hook you up for trespass for one, because that's just a
I
slam
think
dunk. I don't
ours
know
was the
if
same
that's
way. Yeah, it was the
yet.
same way. So I guess I gotta be honest, and I'm not trying to give people ideas. I just figured a lot of trains carry like grain and, you know, the cars or whatever. What kind of shit is being hauled in trains that people are stealing?
Literally anything you can think of. If you
Big
can,
black
if
dildos.
big black dildos, the biggest, they're huge. If it sits on a Walmart shelf, if it goes to a factory, like literally, think of anything, big black dildos, it goes on the train.
Anybody's wondering why the name of the podcast is BBD, you know why. If we go that direction, that's kind of been the theme. I don't know why this is happening, but it is. We just have to accept it.
Just got to accept the dildos.
Are those hard cases to track down? I mean, I gotta think there's probably not cameras on trains, and if people hit them right, they're probably very difficult to solve.
There's cameras sometimes, and the railroad doesn't like to pay for shit, but we have a couple game cameras that we'll set up in kind of like random spots where we think people might be getting on trains. But yeah, for the most part, it's super easy. And for the most part, the cameras aren't there, and it's a numbers, sorry to stammer. It's a numbers game for us. The cases themselves individually are very hard to solve. Our local crime lab is swamped. They're not going to take prints for us for our fucking, train burglary where they got away with a few thousand dollars of shit. They're not going to piss around with that. But if we look at the bigger picture, this is the area that they're happening in, the general area. This is the time. This is the specific train that they hit. Based on the condition of the seals that they break, we can tell what kind of equipment they're using. So like if they're using a fucking grinder, we know to listen for that. And we kind of build our case from there, and we kind of look at it like the long haul. Like you could get away with it for a long time, and then suddenly you go to hit a train, and a ton of people are going to pop out of bushes and hook your ass up, or we'll send our dog after you.
Nice. All right, we got to talk about hijackings. Fucking people hijack trains. Like, what is their goal? Is it like a terrorism thing, or to like steal the shit on the trains, or what's the deal?
The few times that it's happened, it's been randos. And thankfully, it hasn't happened in our field office. And I guess hijack is a strong word. They board a train while it is not crewed and start driving away with it, because trains are
That
surprisingly.
sounds fun.
I mean, I'll say this. If you do a little bit of homework, you could probably, like flying a plane, if you do a little bit of homework, you can probably figure it out.
Really? Because I feel like flying a plane just looks so complicated. There's so many buttons and switches and stuff. Like, do you remember there was a guy, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago where he stole a plane and killed himself. And, but he took it off, you know, he took off on by himself. I think he worked for the airline doing something else. So he paid attention, I guess, to what they were doing. I don't think I could have figured out how to fucking take off.
Yeah, and I guess that I was thinking the exact same case when I was explaining like how people get on trains and take them. Now they're supposed to have locks on them, and that's one of the things that we do is if a locomotive is sitting, we'll check it and see if the lock is actually secured or even on there. But sometimes that an engine slips through the cracks and somebody gets on it and fucking hits on the throttle and starts taking off with the damn thing.
So joyriding.
Yep.
Is probably better. Okay. Okay. Here's my question. So I think, you know, cops, we kind of all understand the trespass, and, you know, the hobo is just like getting on trains. It's just kind of their thing to go place to place. I was talking to a guy that used to be a train conductor, and it seemed like it was kind of conductor to conductor how they felt about hobos. Some didn't mind as long as the hobos weren't troublemakers and kind of looked out or whatever. And then some people had like a no hobo approach. I don't know what your experience has been with that.
Pretty much the same. The conductors that I talk to, some of them don't give a shit as long as they don't have to stop their train to kick somebody off. So basically, you know, if they don't see it, they don't care. Me personally, I deal with hobos all the time, and that's the actual term that we use for them. We call them hobos. I deal with them all the time, and I'm always pleasant. I've always had cordial interactions with them because they're not looking to steal shit. They're not looking to vandalize or tag our trains. They just want to ride them, which is super dangerous. And obviously we have to discourage them from doing that. And they're pretty smart. They know where our inspection points are, and they'll hop off a train before they even get to where we are. But the ones that I've come across that like set up camp in the yards and shit, they're cordial. Most of them are armed. Most of them have a dog with them. Sometimes they have warrants. Sometimes they have drugs and shit. But they don't fuck with our railroad. So me personally, I don't fuck with them too hard. Like, I won't hook them up on the spot. I kind of cut them a little bit of slack as long as they're decent with me and they don't have warrants. I guess to answer your question, like, it's hit or miss. Some conductors will inspect the shit out of their trains and kick off people, and they'll call us and have us come out and do an arrest on them. And some are like, hey, if I don't see it and you don't cause a problem, I'll deal with it, you know?
Now, you said they're super dangerous to ride. Is that making the connection onto the train, or is that hopping off the train, or do people fucking fall out of the train and get run over?
Both, all. Some of them, they'll fucking hop off the train while it's still moving, and maybe the train's going a little bit too fast, or maybe they'll get snagged on the car, and they can get pulled right in and fucking mangled. Other times they're like standing, and the train will jerk or hit a bump, and they'll get dropped into the gauge of the rail, and again, just fucking mangled. Or even boarding. Sometimes when, you know, the ladders to get on these cars sit pretty high, so sometimes your leg could kind of like kick under, and then a wheel will catch you and pull you in. Like, and trains are, you know, anybody listening that has like experience being around trains, they know they're super fucking dangerous, and you want to give them, you know, wide berth. It's pretty easy to get snagged and pulled into one.
I had a guy on the podcast recently. I just referenced him. That was a train, did the train conductor thing for a while before getting into law enforcement. He said that it is so common, unbelievably common, that people are getting fucking smashed by trains all the time. Is that kind of the case? You have like a very regular occurrence of somebody getting hit by a train?
Oh, yeah. My department, which covers, again, half the country, sees one fatality, I'd say once a week. And like conductors and engineers, when they go to school, I've never been to conductor school, but from what I'm told, when in their training, every one of them get told that in their career, in their 30-year career, they will kill at least one person. And every conductor that I've talked to, that I've met, that pretty much holds true. Every single one of them have hit somebody.
I don't know. It just, I guess if you're gonna hop on a train, you're gonna hop on a train. It's a weird thing to me because as I shouldn't be laughing at people getting hit by trains, but it is kind of funny.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I like trains. I think they're very cool, but I also have like a healthy fear of trains, right? Because we've all seen the videos of people getting hit by trains, or at least my Instagram's fucked up and I've seen the videos. And I've also seen, the videos of train cars derailing and falling on cars next to the tracks and all kinds of shit and all the crazy explosions with chemicals and fucking dangerous, right? So it just amazes me how careless people are. But I guess I shouldn't be amazed by that because it just, I guess we all take chances every day and we're like, ah, it'll be fine. Like who doesn't text and drive? I think a lot of people text and drive. I've really tried to fucking knock that shit off. Because it's fucking, it's probably gonna be fine until it's not. I think we all take chances, but not on trains,
Yeah, and but some people fucking do. Like a lot of the trespassers that I come across will have fucking earbuds in, walking in the gauge of the rail on an active line. And those people fucking piss me off. I'll actually Normally, I'm a real decent guy to deal with, but those people, they're like, "Oh, I'm not doing anything." Well, guess where you fuck? Guess where you are, you dumb fuck? And they're like, "Well, I'd hear a train coming." Like, no, you fucking won't.
The
And I
Darwin
think,
Awards are a real thing. I'm just saying.
it was a few months ago. There was a teenager. He was laying in the gauge of the rail. Same thing. He had his fucking ear pods in. Or maybe it wasn't, I think it wasn't an adult. He had his ear pods in. He was literally laying in the gauge of the rail. And as a train was coming, he kind of felt like the vibrations, the rumbling, and he sat up and the train smoked him.
Oof.
Yeah. So, and sometimes people do that on purpose. They'll purposely hang out in the gauge of the rail to end their life. And you kind of feel for those people, but and sometimes it's just fucking stupidity.
Is there any, has there ever been a time that you can think of where somebody got hit by a train and they survived? I don't know how you survive that ever.
And people that work with me will know this story, but I went to a we would call it like a trespass with injury.
That's fucking awesome. That could be the name of the podcast too. A trespass with injury.
Yeah.
Go on.
So this dude gets hit by he was walking in the gauge of the rail, gets hit by a train, pinned under the second locomotive in the consist, and fucking survives without injury. I mean, the call came out that it was injury, but he fucking survived with, bumps and bruises. And
I guess it happens where people get like their limbs chopped off by trains and otherwise are okay too, I suppose.
yeah, we had a guy who a train took his leg, and then a few years later, fucking took the rest of him. He didn't learn his
Oof.
lesson the first time.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta have a healthy fear of some stuff that can kill you.
Yeah,
You know?
but there's a happy ending for the guy I was just talking about. So he survives. A few weeks later, I happen to be in the area and I see somebody walking in the gauge of the rail. And it's the same fucking guy.
Unreal.
Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So he got arrested for trespass. Because obviously getting hit by a train wasn't the lesson that he needed, I guess.
So,
And
no,
go
go
ahead.
ahead. No, you first. Hope.
But and thankfully I think he pled out or some shit like that. I mean, local courts, sometimes they have trouble reaching us, so we don't get case updates all that often. But I mean, I haven't seen him since, but just the fucking audacity. Like you have the by the grace of God, you survive a collision with a train, which when I reported this to my boss, he's been a railroad cop for 25 years and has never seen somebody survive an encounter with a train. So it's a first in his book. So he's, you know, lottery lucky and just didn't learn his fucking lesson.
So I got a story. This may come as a shock. My grandfather may allegedly have had his leg removed by a subway train in New York. Yeah, he had a wooden leg. It was a great party trick. He loved to do it. He's a good dude. Rest in peace. So I got a lot of thoughts because this is all very, very interesting to me. Arrest. So you arrest somebody. I never, where I worked, you know, I don't even know if we had trains near our jurisdiction, but I don't know that we actually, I'm sure somewhere in our jurisdiction we had trains, but it just wasn't really something we dealt with. Actually we did. Not really where I worked, not my side of town. We didn't really deal with it a lot, and I never met a railroad cop and never went on a call or anything like that. So if you made an arrest, where you just take them to the nearest county jail based on where you're at?
Yeah. Either whether it be county jail or the city that my office is has centralized booking, which is fucking incredible. So I drop them off. I'll take my, within the city limits, I'll take my arrest to them and they do fucking everything for them and cut them loose before I'm even done doing paperwork. But yeah, for the most part, it's going to be an arrest will go to the whatever holding facility I'm closest to.
Okay. So you guys don't have like train jail or anything like that?
No, we have a holding center in our office that hasn't been used in years because we're just anything that's like custodial, we're just going to take them to the we're going to do the arraignment and then take them to jail.
Gotcha. Car versus train, is that something you would investigate or local guys would investigate? Who takes those?
That is local, and there's a good reason for that, and we catch a little bit of shit for this. But when a car versus train happens, if we get dispatched to it and we investigate it, any civil attorney that picks it up is going to say that we have a bias for the railroad because we work for them. And, you know, they're going to say that, you know, obviously if your car gets hit by a train, you're kind of at fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of many times where the train's at fault.
Yeah. You know, there's a very specific place where the trains live. And if you stick your car there, you're going to have problems. But, you know, it's still, you know, sometimes attorneys can turn shit. So, no, we won't. We document it. We link up with the local agency that will investigate it just so that it's neutral. And sometimes we catch a little shit like, hey, why don't you guys investigate this? Why do I got to take your fucking your accident? And it's like, well, it's not really our accident because we're for lack of a better word, we're an interested party. So because that potential for bias is there, we just kind of absolve ourselves from it.
How does your dispatch work? Does that go through the railroad, or are you guys linked up to like another jurisdiction, or how does that go?
Again, a little of both. So all the local dispatch centers, whether it be county or city, have our numbers. Our duty cell phones and our dispatch numbers. And we have our own centralized dispatch, which is, in practice, it's kind of a pain in the ass because they're in a different state. So like when I run a tag or I run an ID, there's always a delay in the information because they're using an out-of-state system to search for shit in our state. And they're just the distance. They're so far away from us that shit is literally delayed getting to us. So sometimes I'll if I have the local jurisdiction on my radio, I'll key them up directly and run shit. Or I'll call them on my duty phone and say, hey, this is what I got. Can you run it for me?
Gotcha. All right, so let me ask you this, because I'm curious if you can get into it. So, guy gets hit by a train. You investigate it. Obviously, there's not usually going to be charges because the you're not going to drop a ticket on a dead guy or what's left of him.
Yeah.
How does that investigation go from start to finish?
So that's another deal where outside agencies are probably going to take the lead on it just so that bias doesn't show. But we're still going to participate. Obviously, a death notification has to be made. We have to determine IDing the person is probably going to be the hardest part. I guess that would be your first step is I trying to attempting to ID the person that's been hit. Usually they're in they're in several places, and it's tough to identify them.
Again, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. Maybe I'm a bad person. I don't know.
Anything else. Like anything else in this job, you have to laugh at it because that's all you can do.
I think if I gotta be honest, like the thought of seeing somebody mangled by a train absolutely disgusts me. Like I really don't want to see it.
No,
I think
it's
the
fucked
only
up.
way you could deal with it is by like, well, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. You try to look at like the circumstance that led them there. Like, were they being stupid and hanging out or you try any way you can to deal with it because what you're seeing is truly unreal. And I feel for anybody that's worked a train fatality. I've done them. Obviously my coworkers have done them. It's unfortunately a pretty common thing. But like outside agencies that don't deal with trains regularly, if you come upon a train fatality, just kind of prep yourself because you're going to see some shit.
I feel like in those type of calls, whoever the body snatcher is, whether that's the coroner, if they have people, that's got to be fucking miserable trying to fucking get all the parts and pieces together.
Miserable and it takes fucking forever. And you got to coordinate with the train because sometimes the train has to move to get parts. And lucky people like me might have to come back later because sometimes parts of people may be miles from where they got hit. So we got to kind of really check the rail and make sure there's no pieces left. Hope you weren't eating.
Gross. That was fucking gnarly. All right, we should probably move on because I'm gonna ask you your favorite dead guy later, which may be a train guy, maybe it's something from your prior life. So for the people listening to that or listening to this that maybe work at a city or county or whatever kind of agency and they're looking for something different. Do you enjoy being a train cop?
Yeah, I really do. And having done this job for, and having been a cop for 8 years, there's a lot about this department that I really like. Obviously, I don't have to share my car with other patrolmen, which, if you've ever been fucking roaming around and had a spit bottle, roll out from your driver's seat, you know what I'm talking about.
Fucking degens.
Fucking degens. The schedule is fucking amazing. We make our own schedule. Like we have set office hours that we're supposed to be actively working during those times, but if we got something going on, we can shift our hours to kind of fit whatever we got going on. And that works both ways. If the railroad has shit going on, we might have to adjust our schedule to work with them. It's push and pull. But it's usually, I guess, pull. Usually we make the schedule work around us. That being said, we're salary, so we don't get overtime. But that's also, that's kind of a blessing and a curse. Because we can get fucked and work a long shift, but we can also make it up to ourselves. I guess some other things that I love about the job. You know, the touch of tism is showing, but I still think trains are fucking cool. You know, I'm not a foamer, which anybody who doesn't. Okay. So in railroading, we have a lot of terms for things. It's like its own little special language. A foamer is a person who sits at the crossings or sometimes in the fucking gauge of the rail, and they take pictures of trains. They have our radios. They can hear train traffic. They'll stalk trains and wait for them to come by. They always seem to know when like a special locomotive is coming, because we'll see like five or six of them at various crossings. And the reason they get that name, foamer, is because, you know, when they see a train coming, they start foaming at the mouth.
All right. I like this term, and I'm going to have to play my favorite foamer. I bet you know who this is, too.
Yeah. Yep, I do.
I'm staying up extra late tonight to see a test train pull into Brighton Station. One of my favorite locomotives might be on it, so we'll just have to wait and see. It's 73962! Oh, it's it! It's it! Oh. Oh, quick, I've got to get round. I've got to get round to see it. This is beautiful 73962. Dick my butt. What a beautiful locomotive she is.
Okay, so the first time I saw that, I didn't realize this guy does this with every fucking train. I thought he just did it because it was called Dick My Butt was the name of the train, which is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But it, apparently it's a thing. By the way, I need to thank for the service. There's people that put these fucking just videos of trains on YouTube, and my fucking kid loved that shit for a long time, and all he wanted to do was watch fucking videos of trains, and it worked. So thank you guys for your service. Foamers. That's fucking funny.
Yeah, foamers. And most of them are pretty good. They know the rules. They know they're not allowed to trespass, and they know there's spots where they can sit and film. And we won't harass them, as they like to say. But then you get the fucking moron that takes his $10,000 camera and sits, you know, stands in the gauge of the rail so he can get that front on, you know, that frontal shot of the locomotive as it's approaching him. So some are good, some aren't. Most are annoying at the minimum.
What's the worst part about being a train cop?
I'd say it's the corporate bullshit.
Not even the guys like fucking mangled by trains, the corporate bullshit's worse.
I think so. Because I mean,
wow, I like that. That's
kind of the expectation in police work, right? You're gonna see dead bodies, you're gonna see fucked up shit. You kind of get, I guess, a little desensitized to that, and you figure out ways to deal with it. But what I have a tough time dealing with is the oh, we don't want fucking liability. Don't do this. We have a no pursuit policy. The stupid corporate fucking trainings are endless. So we get, you know, sexual harassment training, anti-bias training. You know, it just never fucking stops. Sometimes, like when we're investigating burglaries, the company is more worried about getting the train moving than they are about conducting the investigation. So like we can actually get in trouble for holding up a train too long to conduct our investigation. Shit like that. And, you know, my supervisor happens to be in a different state. And sometimes that can cause issues because he's a cop in a different state and he tries to tell us how to do our job. And it's like, well, no, that's not how things work here. It's, you know, that's kind of a constant struggle. And sometimes it has its benefits. For example, I hardly ever see my boss, maybe once a year, if that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. My boss's boss, I've seen him once in person, and that was when he hired me.
I'm my own boss, and I have to see myself every day, and I hate it.
That's gonna be terrible.
He's stupid. Fucking makes terrible decisions all the time. He's fucking dumbass. I could do it better than him. Douche.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to the podcast. Attention all law enforcement officers. Looking for a badge as flexible and resilient as you are? Discover Flex Shield by Ghost Patch. Our Flex Shields are not just generic badges. They're custom-made, flexible, metallic emblems designed to replicate your actual badge. Perfect for outer carriers, they come with a durable Velcro backing, making them easy to attach and keep them secure. Looking for a distinguished wallet badge? Flex Shield fits the bill. Why choose Flex Shield? We offer unmatched quality at nearly half the price of our competitors, and we never charge for mold or setup fees. Plus, we're the only ones offering true dual plating, a testament to our commitment to excellence. Proudly law enforcement owned and operated, we understand what it means to wear a badge. Start your custom order today at ghostpatchcustom.com. Flex Shield, the badge of the future.
All right, I think we're going to get into my dumb questions, but I'm bad at my job. So I want to make sure that we hit everything railroad related that you wanted to talk about that the millions of people need. Is there anything that we didn't hit on that we need to hit on?
No, we kind of got into the day in, day out, some of the office gripes. I tell people when they get curious about like us hiring and shit, I'm like, if you see an opening for a railroad agent, don't walk, fucking run. And if you got to kill somebody to get this job, do it. Because chances are we're going to beat your salary by a lot. The benefits are great. The retirement is the best that I've ever seen. And compared to municipal work, it's pretty fucking cake. I'm not doing domestics anymore. I don't do fucking, I'm not dealing with ODing people all the time. I'm not dealing with fucking barking dogs, all that annoying shit. I don't deal with it anymore. I'm as busy as I want to be. And, making my own, I get holidays off. What kind of fucking cop job do you get where you get holidays off? It's unheard of. So I tell people, don't walk, fucking run. Take one of these jobs if you can get it. They're rare, but they are out there. However, having said that, it's not all fucking amazing. There's going to be some stupid shit. There's going to be some gripes that you're going to have. But overall, I'm super happy that I made the switch. And I would encourage anybody, if you're like burnt out with your department and you have a few railroads, even short lines, like smaller railroads, sometimes they have their own PD. Look at them, see if they're hiring and see if you can get on board. Because it'll...
Oh, he said on board. That's a good one.
So
that wasn't as funny as I made it out to be, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I don't mean to go off on a tangent there, but yeah, that was one of the main things I wanted to cover is, people don't know a whole lot about this job. And if you see an opening, fucking go for it.
So I'm curious. I don't know how much you know about it. A conductor itself. Because I always heard working for the railroads like a good pension, good pay. But I hear a lot of people burn out of it, and you were kind of saying their schedule sucks dick.
Do you know anything about that job? Like, do they get paid well? It's just the schedule sucks and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's basically it. Their benefits are really good. Their pay is super good. And but they pretty much live out of a fucking bag, you know? They get to their they'll drive a train to whatever terminal they're going to, sit in a hotel until they get a call to come back. So with conductors and engineers or train crew in general, the divorce rate's really high because they're never fucking home unless they get seniority and they can get like a yard job or some shit, but those are pretty rare. So they're never home. There's not a whole lot to do at the hotel except for maybe go to the bar. So that's kind of like the big issues with them is that, you know, they miss their family and they want to have that home time and they just can't fucking get it. And they're on call all the time. So they might get home 8 hours later, they're getting a call and they have to come right fucking back and run a train somewhere. They run these guys ragged. So any conductor that can stick it out for their 30 years is fucking balls of steel. My hat's off to you because that's hard.
Do they run them ragged because it's just like anything else? They just can't find people to do it? Or is that how the system's set up? Do you know if you have any
Kind of,
insight?
yeah. I mean, you're constantly burning people out, so a lot of people quit or they take other jobs within the railroad to keep their retirement. So you know, there's always conductors and engineers leaving, and there's other, and there's always a fresh supply that are, you know, enticed by the money and you know some you know the excitement of working for the railroad, I guess.
I feel
So
like that would be a great job. Like, if you were a young single dude, fucking fantastic. But I guess you better not plan on having a family.
exactly. Like I'm married, I have a kid. I'd love to make that kind of money, but it would never fucking work.
What's good if you have money if you can't spend it either, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, some of these guys have, you know, expensive cars and shit sitting in their driveway that they can never drive because they're never fucking home.
But in 30 years, they're gonna fucking ball.
I mean, if they make it that far.
Buddy, you ready for some dumb questions?
Let's do the dumb questions.
All right. We're starting out with a magic eight ball. You can ask it any question you would like. What would you like to ask the magic eight ball?
When are we as a society going to get smarter?
Fuck, I'm like turning it so I can read it, and then it turned. Goddamn magic eight ball, here we go. Cannot predict now. Fucking indecisive piece of shit. It never gives me answers. I don't know, we're not gonna get smarter. I can't determine that right now.
Oh, fuck.
We're fucked. All
Yep.
right, so now that you have this awesome job that you can set your schedule, what kind of hobbies do you have to keep yourself sane? What do you do on your off time that you like to do?
I lift a lot. I say a lot. 3 days a week, I do power lifting. Anybody who knows me, this will probably fucking dox me, but I make wine. I brew wine. And other than that, I'm a full-time dad and I have a old ass house, so I'm always renovating something.
Did you say that you make wine?
I do.
Gay!
Fuck, man. Most dudes like make beer or whiskey, and you're like, fuck it. Wee, let's make some wine.
I've
I don't
done
know.
beer too.
I'm surprised you're not drinking any of your wine.
Actually, I have my phone leaned up against like 18 bottles that I just bottled.
Nice. Is it just for you or do you sell it?
I give it away. In my state, you can't have an interest in selling alcohol and be a cop. They'll revoke your license.
Oh,
so
that.
I give it away to like friends and family and partake myself because wine is expensive. So I drink a lot of my own supply.
You get high on your own supply.
Mm-hmm.
I know a guy. If you want to mail some to him, I can give you his P.O. box. I'm just saying. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
I'd be down for that.
Would you do it all over again? Would you get into law enforcement, or do you wish you would have ended up doing something else?
The only thing I would change, and I've had a great time with this career thus far, and you know, guys with like your dad with 40 years on would probably be like, fuck, that's nothing. But I've had a great time with this career. I wouldn't take anything back, even the shitty stuff, because that makes you kind of, that makes you grow. The only thing I would take back is I wish I would have spent more time on active duty in the military, you know, got to travel a little bit more and experience more before settling down into the civilian lifestyle. And that's the only thing I would change. Otherwise, I'd do this again in a heartbeat.
What's your favorite type of sauce?
Sauce?
Sauce, like a condiment.
Oh, shit.
That sounds disgusting.
No, that's good. So I used to work in a kitchen when I was going through when I was in college. I was a cook. So I don't know if you mean like a commercially made sauce or like something you can make yourself.
Any of it. Any of it, buddy.
Okay. So something that I do for my wife and me, whenever we make steaks, I make a pan sauce. I take the same cast iron pan that I use to sear the steaks. I drop in some red wine vinegar and beef stock, and I let that reduce down to a sauce that goes on my steaks, and that is the best shit ever.
That sounds like fucking tits. That sounds fucking amazing.
It is tits. My wife is the pickiest person I know, and she loves it.
What is the dumbest thing you ever did as a rookie?
I'm glad that this came to head so quickly. The dumbest thing I ever did as a rookie, I was still mixing up the military phonetic alphabet with the law enforcement phonetic alphabet. And I was on a stop. I was fresh off FTO. And it was a commercial plate that ended in J. And I, you know, I'm going through my spiel. Like, I get out the numbers, I get out some of the letters, and at fucking J, I have a brain fart. And it was the conflict between military and police phonetic alphabet that caused the brain fart. But there was a long pause on the radio, and I just go, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, Mike, Jenny?
Also could be the name of the podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, over the county air, they got to hear my long, awkward pause and then say, Jenny, as if I was asking dispatch a question.
Jenny. Sorry, I ruined your Black Panther party. That's fucking funny. What's the most embarrassing moment of your life?
Of my life. All right. I was a newer cop, and I was sitting behind somebody. It was at a fucking red light, and the light turned green and they weren't going. And I didn't know that when you hit the horn on the police car, it activates the siren. So I fucking go to honk the horn and the siren starts going. And I press it again because I'm dumb, and it just changes the tone of the siren, doesn't shut it off. So we're at this guy is like fucking taken off because he thinks I'm going to an emergency, and I'm just cycling through the different fucking siren tones on my box until I eventually get the smarts to shut it off and just go about my day as if nothing fucking happened.
I've run across some patrol cars that are not set up that same way, where you'd fucking, like we were always taught, hey, when you're approaching an intersection, change your siren, right? So you push the horn, change the siren. It's a lot easier than fucking pushing the buttons down. I've had cars where you push it and it fucking just honks like a car. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? Something that hasn't come up in the like rookie mistakes and stuff, because it's not even like a rookie mistake, because everybody fucking does this shit. Traffic stops at night. You always know when your lights are on, right? Traffic stops during the day. I can't tell you how many fucking times that I've driven around for fucking miles with my fucking overheads going, and I'm like, why are all these people pulling over? Until you realize that your fucking lights are on. I think every cop's done that.
You're not alone. In my former department, my chief happened to be out and about that day and fucking sent me a text message like, "Hey, why are you running around with your fucking lights on?"
Classic.
Whoops. Sorry, chief.
Oopsie daisy. If you could go back in time and tell young CJ some advice for his policing career, what would you tell yourself?
Take your time. You're paid by the hour. Not in my case anymore, but when I was on the road, even if you got calls stacked, the people that you're dealing with, it's probably the worst moment in their life right then. So you should probably give them that respect. And treat people like how you would want the police to treat your family. I think that's how, when I was younger, hard charger, you try to get through calls, get on to the next one. And sometimes people don't get the attention that they deserve.
Do you have a good on-duty dildo story?
No, but I do have a cross-dresser story if that interests you.
I'm here for it.
So one of my gigs in college was security, and part of that was searching vehicles before they entered the facility. It was a condition of them entering. And a truck driver who was by himself, had we had to check their bags and shit too. One of his bags had plus size women's lingerie and the biggest pair of fucking high heels that I've ever seen. And when I get to this bag, he's standing with me as I'm searching his shit. He's like, "Oh yeah, my wife's at the hotel." And I'm thinking to myself, "You have a fucking sleeper cab. No company is paying for a hotel." So this dude, in his private trucker time, liked to dress up as a woman and wear big ass high heels.
When in Rome, kink
I
shaming motherfucker. That's
know.
fucking.
I was awful. What happens in the privacy of a man's big rig is his deal, I guess.
I don't want to go on this rant, but I'm going to. I'm just gonna say, when I was a kid growing up, I really liked watching reruns of MASH and Klinger, right? His whole thing was like trying to prove he was crazy and dressing like a female and stuff.
Yes.
We got a whole bunch of Klingers around these days. Just saying. What is the funniest prank or funniest moment on the job?
So we used to have like an old CPR mannequin that nobody really used anymore because it was all fucking ratty. But it looked, what's the fucking cartoon? He has the sword and he's like, I have the power.
Fuck, oh, yeah, I He-Man?
He-Man. So yeah. The mannequin, like, it had the hair and like the masculine face. It looked like fucking He-Man. We would put glasses on it, and if there was a vehicle near the fuel point where we would go and fill up our patrol cars, I put the fucking mannequin in the rear view or in the rear seat of a nearby vehicle facing the fuel point. So, and a deputy came along and was fueling up his car, and he fucking sees this dude with sunglasses staring at him. And, you know, he didn't have like a great reaction. He just fucking flinched. He's like, what the fuck? Because he's looking at a car and some random, what he thought was a dude was staring at him. So we did that. The mannequin kind of made its rounds. It would find its way into people's patrol cars at random times in the back seat. So you would look in the rearview mirror and somebody was staring at you. I've hidden. Yeah, I may or may not have hidden hundreds of very tiny pictures of dicks around the old station that still may or may not be there. Sometimes I get a coworker who'll text me a picture and be like, oh, I fucking found one.
That's fucking awesome. Somebody at my old department may or may not have drawn a goofy mustache on the photo of our chief. And the brass was really upset about it. I thought it was funny. You know, here's a weird thing. And maybe this is just, I think it's weird, and maybe I don't understand the purpose it serves, but like having the photo of the chief around the station is kind of weird, right? I know every agency does that, and I don't, is it there so you know what they actually look like because you've never fucking seen them? Like I understand, I don't know, like my agency had a whole wall of photos of every single chief. Which is, I don't know. I fuck the chief, I guess. I get the idea, I guess, but I'm also like, eh, I don't really fucking give a shit about you people. I always thought it was interesting, like the class photos of the people that have been hired, you know, through the years. You know, you see in the styles change throughout the years and stuff. I always thought that was interesting, but I don't know.
So I think that's a holdover from the military. Because like any military building you go in, the command structure is usually there in pictures all the way from the company commander to like the president. So like chiefs and administrators who came from the military probably just are doing that.
Could be.
Thankfully, my old department, my current department don't do that. Our director, I know his name. But if he were to show up, I would have no fucking clue who he is. And I would definitely have to like check his creds or some shit.
Who inspired you the most?
Obviously my sob story's already been told. So the troopers that inspired me to become a cop, but my old chief, I guess I kind of revert back to him when I'm going about my day and some of the things that he would do. He was a really good dude. He is a really good dude. He's still on the job. He was very level-headed. He would hold you to a standard. but he wasn't going to bullshit you. And it just as an example of that, like if one of us got PC'd, the personnel complaint, he would review the body cam footage. And if necessary, he would call in the person that submitted the complaint, be like, hey, do you want to come review the body cam footage? And he would call us in too and be like, let's fucking talk about it. And in my case, thank God body cams exist, because in both times the complaints were bullshit. But for a small town chief, he's done a lot. He's gone to the FBI Academy. He was very young when he took the chief's position, even over guys that had much more time on the job than him. And he really turned the reputation of the department around. A complete fucking 180. So I'm really inspired by his work, and he's very approachable. He's a very good guy to deal with, even on the street. And I try to keep that in mind, like how would he approach things? Sometimes when I'm going up to things that are like uncertain.
All right, here's the moment. Do you have a favorite dead guy call?
He was dying as I got there, if that counts.
Sure.
So this was my first time doing CPR and using an AED. And they don't fucking tell you in that bullshit Red Cross training that sometimes the people might sit up and make noise. So I'm thumping on this guy, and I get the AED out and I get him strapped up to it, and the shock is advised, and it delivers the shock, and he sits up like 90 degrees and lets out like a moan. And I didn't fucking know that. So I didn't know that was going to happen. And I nearly shit my pants. And unfortunately, he ended up dying. CPR is not very successful, as I'm sure you know. But in that moment, he looked very alive. And for him to die very, very shortly after that was just so fucking weird.
I've never heard of that. That's fucking weird.
No?
No, I've never heard of that. We didn't have an AED.
Okay.
So, like, I've had training in the AED through various jobs, but I think maybe like a couple of our patrol cars had an AED, but not very many of them.
Yeah. So, I was talking about it with the paramedics, like after the coroner had taken them away and everything, and they're like, yeah. Fucking sometimes that happens, dude.
God, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
That is fucking weird. The next question I have for you is, what is the proudest moment of your career?
I think getting the Community Service Award was a real high point for me. It's not something that was awarded often. And it was like a community thing. Like they said, hey, this officer has been going out and doing good shit. So I think that's gotta be the highest point. Cause that was real feedback from the public that said, hey, this is what we expect of our cops.
All right. So this is kind of old throwback to like Coast to Coast and all that stuff. The old AM radio. Do you have any ghost or alien stories?
No, I wish I did. One night I was working, like it was like 3 in the fucking morning, and a lot of the transformers in the town. It was like during a bad storm. A lot of the transformers started to fucking blow. And when that happens, like it's a big flash of blue light, and then you're turns out it fucks with your police radio too. In that moment, I was thinking, oh fuck, is something like supernatural happening? But nope, it was just the electrical grid failing us. But no, I don't really have any. There's a famous haunted house in my old jurisdiction that we like drove down the driveway and checked out the house, but we didn't see anything.
Good sir, in your humble opinion, what is the best patrol car of all time?
Well, I know you're a fan of the Crown Vic, and I've had my ass in a Crown Vic for a long for a while during FTO. I gotta say, I like the Expedition. It's probably not a common answer you get, but it's fucking comfortable. It goes. I know. My car's a piece of shit, but it goes everywhere I need it to go, and it's fucking comfortable. But it is dog shit slow. I guess that's the only complaint I have about it.
Our supervisors had expeditions, and occasionally, if there was like a snowstorm, they'd throw us into a supervisor car. It was interesting. It didn't feel like a police car, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it feels like a fucking soccer mom thing.
All right, so we're doing a little bit of scientific research on the podcast right now, and I don't know if you know this. I thought there was only one way, but it turns out there's multiple ways we're learning. But how do you wipe your ass?
How do I wipe my ass?
Yes. Do you
All right.
sit? Do you stand? Do you do something else weird?
Sit.
Okay.
I sit for science.
You know what's funny?
Caveat.
No, go ahead. What's your caveat?
Sure, caveat to that. Get a fucking bidet. They're fucking awesome.
I got sent one by a loyal follower of the page. I need to set it up. I got to do it. I'm just afraid of change, but
Get
I
on it.
will.
You will not shit anywhere else, I promise you. You'll feel like a savage if you do.
Actually, I got a story. I almost shit my pants today. It was fucking close. So I woke up early and I was like, you know what? Fucking nobody else is awake. I'm gonna fucking go fishing because I have a problem. And so I drive out to the local pond. The sun's coming up. It's fucking gorgeous. I'm like, this is great. I don't even care if I don't catch any fish. This is beautiful out. And I go to fart in it. You know, like when you go to fart and it kind of has that warmth to it. And you're like, you got to kind of squeeze your asshole because you're going to shit if you don't. And I was like, oh, okay. Fuck. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like 10 minutes from my house, which isn't bad. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to. It'll be fine. I'm just going to get on my kayak. It'll be fine. I'm not going to shit. And then I'm getting everything ready. And I was like, ooh, no. This is the, I can't sweat this one out. Like I gotta do this. And, there just so happened to be, 'cause I remember this, there's a porta potty down the road a little bit at this park I like to go to. And I was like, well, fuck, I guess I gotta go check this porta potty out. It's out in the middle of nowhere. So I had no idea if this porta potty, what the condition of it was going to be, if it had toilet paper. And I got in there and like I didn't really scope the place out much. I just sat down, did my thing. It was like machine gun fire. I barely made it in time. But I gotta tell you, it was one of the cleanest fucking porta potties I'd ever been in my life. And it had toilet paper. So thanks for your
That fucking
service,
works.
Parks Department, because that was a great fucking porta potty. And that's not always the case. Porta potties are usually a little suspicious.
Yeah. Anybody that's been in the army can fucking relate. Some of the porta johns that we get, the shit will be literally piled up to the fucking seat, and there will be no TP. The fucking hand sanitizer will be empty. It's just all fucked up.
I don't know. I just had this random memory pop up of so I used to run a 5K every year in Denver. And it was like a thing we did, a group of us did. And it must just be a thing, like pre-race jitters or whatever. There's always the fuck, like there's a shitload of porta potties, but they're all fucking full. There's always a huge line, right? And I don't know what the fuck people were eating the night before they were gonna fucking go run a 5K, but those were some of the fucking gnarliest smelling fucking porta potties. Like these are clean people. Like this ain't truckers and shit. Like these are decent. Well, not to say truckers aren't decent. That's not what I'm saying. You know, truckers don't have a good diet, is what I'm saying. These are fucking like people that aren't truckers, I guess. Apparently, I'm picking on truckers. I don't know. But it was always fucking nasty. And I was like, well, I got to do it. But it was always a bad time. All right. We've kind of gone off the rails here. I have a very important question for you. It's one of the last questions I have for you.
Let's hear it.
CJ, have you ever shit your pants?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Fire.
Oh. So one of our senior agents keeps a big ass roll of toilet paper in his patrol car for that exact reason. But the shitty diet and the lifestyle haven't quite hit my body yet to the point where that's a concern for me.
I guess it would probably depend where on the railroad you are, but it sounds like you have a big jurisdiction. You
Yep.
know,
Huge.
usually next to the rail line, I feel like most rail lines are close to somewhat of a major highway for the most part. So you probably have gas stations and places to shit. You're not always out in the middle of nowhere.
Sometimes no, sometimes yes. There's a segment of my rail that runs through a national park, and that's real in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, no cell service, no radio coverage, nothing.
Well, buddy, we've come to the conclusion of this very poorly made police podcast. Do you have any imparting words of wisdom for the millions and trillions and billions and gazillions of listeners out there?
To the millions out there. If your department pays you by the hour, remember that you're paid by the hour. You know, give people the time that you can within reason, and treat people the way you would want everyone to treat your family. It's real important, and even though sometimes it may not seem like it, but it's going to do a lot of good for you in the end. And you may even inspire somebody to take on this shitty profession later on in life.
Well, fucking said. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate all your time this evening. You guys know what to do. Make sure you're taking care of the fine sponsors of the podcast so I can continue to bring this to you. Make sure you guys are checking out my merch. Make sure you are checking out the stuff me and Ghost Patch are doing. We've got all kinds of fun stuff that we're always putting new stuff together and brainstorming some good ideas. We got some fun stuff planned for you guys. With that said, remember, don't fucking play on train tracks, you fucking idiots. And I love most of you. Bye-bye. Okay, I don't know why I thought of this. Have you ever seen the videos of the dude that fucking goes on? He's a comedian. He goes on rants and he goes, "Follow me, you fucking idiots." I don't know why I thought of that. It made me laugh. That guy's fucking funny.
I haven't seen that guy, but I do like a good stand-up, so who is it?
I don't fucking remember. You guys will have to Google it. Bye-bye.